Tonight, I'll try to, for a short time, deal with something relative to baptism. And let's take a look here in Genesis 35, verse number 16. And they journeyed from Bethel, and there was but a little way to come to Ephrath. And Rachel, Jacob's wife, travailed, and she had hard labor. And it came to pass, when she was in hard labor, that the midwife said unto her, "Fear not, thou shalt have this son also." And it came to pass, as her soul was in departing, for she died, that she called his name Benoni, but his father called him Benjamin. And Rachel died, and was buried in the way to Ephrath, which is Bethlehem. And Jacob set a pillar upon her grave. That is the pillar of Rachel's grave unto this day. Understand that that span of time has been hundreds of years. And when Brother Moses writes this, he says and notes that they know where that grave is yet today. The grave. This is the first mention directly of the word grave in the scripture. And what we want to consider tonight is the grave and the waters of baptism. The grave and the waters of baptism. We, from time to time, will go to cemeteries or graveyards and visit the graves of our loved ones, our relatives, our friends. And it's, I would say as a whole, just mankind, people don't like to go to cemeteries. We can go to cemeteries as the children of God, and especially as we visit the graves of our family members that are saved or our loved ones, our brothers and sisters in Christ that are saved. We know that they are indeed with the Lord. And as is said many times at funerals, they are indeed in a better place. But as a whole, people don't want to go to graveyards. It's very rare for them to be family cemeteries anymore. I know of those that have maybe considered about having a family cemetery, and they had aversion to that. They want their people to be buried away. I'm not being critical of that. It's just, it's telling about how we think about cemeteries as people, as mankind. The grave. We know that the grave is coming. We know that the grave is very permanent. We know that the grave, I speak as a man, is nothing but wrapped up in sadness. And so the grave, in baptism, the grave is represented by these waters in our baptismal pool. The grave is represented there, and it is a part of baptism. The grave. In Psalm, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 89:48, "What man is he that liveth and shall not see death? Shall he deliver his soul from the hand of the grave?" Selah. And that word Selah is an indication to pause. As we read it, to pause and consider that and think about that. The grave brings permanency from the standpoint of living on this earth and the end of life. In Proverbs, Brother Solomon or others wrote there in Proverbs 30, verse 16, "The grave and the barren womb, the earth that is not filled with water, and the fire that saith not, it is enough." Fire can just keep on burning and burning and burning. And indeed, while there are floods in different places, they're having flooding and what they would call excessive rain in California, and I would implore them to consider why that they are having such rains in California. The Lord will judge wickedness and denial of him, but the earth that is not filled with water and the barren womb that desires to have a child, and the grave, they are never, never satisfied. Death is coming upon all. and the grave is indeed calling for all. But we have a great and wonderful thing, as we see in John chapter 11, that there was one man that had power over the grave, and that is our Lord Jesus Christ. And I trust that you're familiar with the account in John chapter 11. The Lord Jesus is dealing with so many people here. He's dealing with his disciples. He's dealing with those that he loves, Mary and Martha, and ultimately Brother Lazarus. He's dealing with those in that town that are looking on. He'll be dealing with others that will see Lazarus alive later on. And Lazarus is very sick. Word comes into the Lord, and he just holds up where they're at. And then after he dies, he goes to where Lazarus has been buried. If you know the account, you know that he meets with his sisters there, and he tells about wondrous things about himself, that he is the resurrection, that their brother will rise again. They have hope indeed for the resurrection to come. And he speaks about faith in him in verse number 25 of John 11. Even though one believes in him and are dead, they shall live. What a wondrous, wondrous statement, if that's true. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Verse 25, at the end, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Okay. Wondrous things. Jesus, he goes and he's taken to the grave, and there's these different things that transpire. He says, take away the stone in verse number 39. It is a tomb. It is not in the ground, the ground dug up, because it's where they're at. It's difficult in many places to dig in the ground, and they have caves or large outcroppings of rocks and hills and mountains that they're able to hew out tombs. Lazarus is buried in such. And the Lord Jesus says, take away the stone. His sister says, that's not a good thing to do. By now, he's decomposing. It would not be a pretty picture. They go ahead and take away the stone, and as the Lord Jesus Christ said, and the Lord Jesus prays there. And then in verse number 43, this man, the Lord Jesus Christ, he says, Lazarus, come forth. And he said it once. And you know what happened? Lazarus came forth. Lazarus, wrapped up in grave clothes. We saw this past Sunday where the scripture told about how Jesus was wrapped in a linen cloth hastily. Lazarus is wrapped up that same way. He's been anointed to the burial. He would have been smothered by all the ointments that they would have put on to preserve his body and to honor him. And yet he comes and walking out of that tomb at Jesus' command. Jesus has power over the grave, doesn't he? He does. And in verse 44, he declares, the Lord commands unto those that are round about them there, around that are there and around the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, loose him and let him go. That means get those grave clothes off of him. The Lord Jesus had effectively said that to the grave. Loose him and let him go. And he did. And the grave did. What a wondrous thing for a man to have power over the grave. That would be a very valuable man to have around, wouldn't it? The grave being so sure and so permanent as it is to us. But you know, that same man, the God-man, he died and was buried in a grave too. So not only did he command that dead men, Lazarus, the man that was brought from Nain, the little girl that had died 12 years old in Capernaum, but he himself died too. In John chapter 19, We have in verse number 38, John 9:13, verse number 38, we read here, "And after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave or permission. He came therefore and took the body of Jesus." Jesus has died on the cross. "And there came also Nicodemus, which at the first came to Jesus by night," that's in John chapter 3, "and brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100-pound weight. And then took they the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new sepulcher, wherein never man yet laid," the grave, Joseph's grave. "And there they laid Jesus, therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulcher was near at hand." Jesus died and he was buried. So the man that called forth a little girl and two men from death back to life, and one out of the grave, he died himself and was buried. But we have declared to us very clearly in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 what happened with our Lord Jesus. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 1 through 8, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also ye have received and wherein ye stand, by which also ye are saved." This gospel is the only way a man, woman, boy, or girl can be saved, is by believing and trusting in this one and what he has done that's declared here. "If you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain." Listen, as Philip told the Ethiopian eunuch and declared unto him to believe with all of his heart, with all of his being and his soul, to believe and trust that Jesus has done that for you. "For I delivered unto you," verse 3, "first of all, that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures." So we find out here why he died. Not for his own sins, but for his children's sins, for sinners' sins. "And that he was buried," which we have seen in the Gospel of John, "and that he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures." This one that said, after I am risen, he indeed raised himself. The Father raised him. The Spirit of God raised him from the dead when he was dead in the grave. Indeed, he has power over the grave, doesn't he? And that we might know and be assured of his ability and power, and that this is really so nearly 2,000 years ago, "and he was seen of Cephas," that is Brother Peter, "then of the 12, including Brother Matthias. And after that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once," all at one time. That's just men. There were women there too, no doubt, "of whom the greater part remain unto this present," when Paul writes this chapter of the epistle of 1 Corinthians. "And after that, he was seen of James the Less, and then of all the apostles. And last of all, he was seen of me also as of one born out of due time." And so there are witnesses, there are a multitude, hundreds of witnesses that saw that Jesus has power over the grave. So that's why, and the Lord has made this ordinance that we've preached about and looked about in the Scriptures, and that is being observed tonight, administered, and our brother is being received into, making this public declaration of what Christ has done for him. In being saved by our Lord Jesus, this grave in which our Lord Jesus was laid, we have been buried too. And that's the reason that there's water to typify such a grave. we are buried. We are buried. The psalmist declared it and was giving a glimpse of it, the Lord pulling back over time in the giving of the scriptures. The psalmist declares in Psalm 30, verse number 3, O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive that I should not go down into the pit. When the Lord saves, he saves from sin and from hell and from self and from Satan and from the world. And he saves from the grave, the permanency of the grave. The psalmist declares in Psalm 49, verse number 15, but God will redeem my soul from the power of the grave. For he shall receive me, Selah. Oh, what a wondrous thing. Brother Hosea, as we studied and looked at some time ago, he says, the Lord says through him, I will ransom them from the power of the grave. I will redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. What the Lord's saying there is that any turning of the Lord doing these things to the grave and to death will not be so. He will be the plagues of death. He will be the destruction of the grave for his people. What a wondrous, wondrous thing. In Romans chapter 6, verse number 4, I trust you're familiar with it. The scripture says, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into his death. So that's what's being typified, what Christ has done and what Christ has done unto us. We are dead to self. We are dead to sin. We are dead to the world, to Satan, into the way of man. We are alive in Christ. Therefore, we are buried with Jesus by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And that's speaking about our walk here. Even though I have not died, and if I do die before the Lord Jesus returns, I look for my family to bury me, but I've been saved from that grave. You're here and saved. You've been saved from that grave because we've been buried with Christ, and Christ is no longer in that tomb over there outside of Jerusalem. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 12, considering the grave, what is it that the grave represents? It's burial in the grave. The water represents the grave. Colossians 2, verse 12, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith and operation of God. The faith of the operation of God, the faithfulness of the operation of God. I'm not raised because of what I've done or can do, but by what the Lord has done for me. He took his life back again. In John chapter 5, the Father is given unto him to have life in him like the Father has life in him, and he can make alive whomsoever he will. And he does that for those that he saves, for those that come to him in repentance and faith, for those that receive him and what he's done on Calvary. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And then we hear this familiar passage, and it's often read at funerals of those that are, who are saved, give testimony of the Lord Jesus as Savior. 1 Thessalonians 4:16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And what's it say there? And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Those who are in the graves are going to come up out of the graves. They're going to be restored and reunited, their souls with a physical body that has been changed, that's likened to Christ, and they will be resurrected. The grave will hold no power in any fashion You know, when we die, our souls go on to be with the Lord. Our spirit has been made alive because the Spirit of God lives within us, and we have fellowship on that spirit-soul level with our Lord. But the Lord just doesn't save us unto that. He saves us completely because you and I are here. We have a physical body too, and the grave will not take our soul. The second death will not take our soul. Our spirit has been made alive where it was made dead by sin, and the body will not be kept by the grave. He saves completely. And praise be to his name. With the trump of God and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we close here in 1 Corinthians 15 in the latter part, verse number 50. Now this I say, brethren, 1 Corinthians 15:50, that flesh and blood, this flesh and blood, this sinful, corrupt flesh and blood, cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised from the grave, incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when the corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Pardon me. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Brother Colton, bring me that bottle of water right there in front of you, please. Tell you what, these redwoods are doing me in. There's not a bottle of water. I took it. There's one right here. Sorry. Verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? You hear that? O grave, where is thy... There is no victory by the grave, no victory by death. The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law, because sin kills us and the grave takes us. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory, victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The grave and the waters of baptism, that's what the waters of baptism represent, is that grave that no more has victory over the child of God. It had not victory over our Lord Jesus Christ, and it has not victory over those who are saved, because Jesus rose from the dead. We are made alive in him. We, being buried, will be raised incorruptible. No victory in the grave for the children of God.